if you would, please take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 to begin this morning. We're going to take a look into God's Word to gain a little insight into spiritual hunger and how to recognize it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hunger and thirst. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We need physical food, right? But we also need spiritual food. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And I think you're probably familiar that there's a number of places in Scripture where God's Word, the Scriptures, are compared to physical food. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Paul said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." So there's a number of places. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Sometimes we call this spiritual hunger, a hunger or a desire for the truth, to know God, to know the things of God. And spiritual hunger is similar to physical hunger. Sometimes if you're physically hungry, you only want a snack. Other times, I want a meal. You know, I want it all. So there's varying degrees of physical hunger, just as there are varying degrees of spiritual hunger. As born-again ones, we all have the great joy and responsibility to share God's word with people, to speak God's word. It says in Peter, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to answer those that would ask you about the reason of the hope that you have within you with meekness and reverence." We'll read the verse completely in a little while. You know, God's word says be ready to share God's word with people. So what are some of the indications that we can see in Scripture of those that have spiritual hunger? In order to see that maybe a little clearer, go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at a word that's used in the Bible a few times. Matthew chapter 10. This is when Jesus sent the 12 out to go and to preach God's word. I think in Luke, he sent the 70 out as well to speak God's word. In verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, do what? Preach. Preach. Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And not only preach, but heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Then verse 9, "Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." And this was specific for them. That doesn't mean when we go share God's word with people that we don't wear a coat. This was specific for this specific mission, okay? And now watch verse 11. "Whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it." And in the biblical times, the saluting was to say, "Peace be with you." They still do that in some places. Shalom. It just means peace be with you. And if that, look, verse 13 says, "And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you." Four times in this passage, this word worthy is used. It's the Greek word axios, and it literally means like equal weight, having the weight or like value of a thing. It doesn't mean that these people were absolutely worthless people. In this context, their response to the words spoken to them was not of equal weight of what those words represented, of what was being spoken to them. And in fact, in verse 14, it says, "And whosoever shall not receive you." Well, what were they doing? They were preaching God's word. So they didn't want to hear what the 12 were speaking. You know, they went out in twos, but the word they were preaching, they didn't receive them. They didn't want to hear it. That's an indication of being unworthy in this context. Verse 14 again, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." So again, not receiving those words made them unworthy of those words. And that shaking the dust off of your feet, Bishop Pillai taught that's an Orientalism and an idiom. And the dust represented animosity, bitterness, resentment, other negative feelings. Don't carry that dust with you because they don't want to hear the words that you're speaking. You just shake that dust off and move on. They were there to speak God's word and to bring deliverance. They were inquiring. They were checking to see who was worthy, who wanted to hear those words, who had some what we would call spiritual hunger. And if they wouldn't receive them or hear those words, then the 12 were just to move on. So this gives us a little indication of what is unworthy. And we'll see a little more in Matthew 22, because this word comes up again. This is a parable that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." In Bible times, when a king would have a wedding, it was a huge big deal, and the planning was months before. And if you were invited, you would first get an invitation, then you would get a reminder, then the king would send you the proper wedding garments for you to wear at that function. And then finally, when the time came, they would come and say, "Okay, here we go." It says in verse 3, they would not come. Really? He said, "We're not going. We're not going." Note that, they would not come. Verse 4, again, "He sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. Everything's ready. Come to the marriage." Verse 5, "But they made light of it." Oh, really? Make a note of that. "They made light of it and went their ways." Going to go do their own thing. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. "And the remnant," verse 6, ooh, this gets bad, "took his servants and entreated them spitefully." Make a note of that too. Treated them spitefully and slew them. "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and then he went, sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants," look at verse 8, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." Not worthy. In looking briefly at this word worthy, what have we seen regarding this word here in Matthew 22 and also in Matthew 10? Those who were not worthy did not receive those who were speaking to them. They didn't want to hear their words. They were the words they were speaking, and here in this parable, they would not come. I'm not going to go to your meeting. I don't want to go to that. They made light of it. Oh, what are you, one of those Bible people? Come on. They made light of it. They went and did their own thing, and in the extreme, entreated spitefully and slew them. So for you and I, when we speak God's word, when we share God's word with people, this what we've seen here gives us a little understanding of those who are unworthy or not worthy. those who are not spiritually hungry. And what did Jesus Christ say to do when you run into somebody who's not spiritually hungry? He just said, shake the dust off and move on. Don't get all uptight about it. And, you know, if people are hungry, they're hungry. If they're not hungry, guess what? They're not hungry. You ever said to somebody, hey, I got some food here. You want some? No, thanks. I'm not hungry. Well, come on. My grandma used to do that. Oh, have something to eat. No, really, I'm full. Oh, here, have a half a sandwich at least, and let me... I'm not hungry. Honest, I'm not hungry. And then you'd eat just to satisfy her. But see, spiritual hunger is like that too. If somebody's not hungry, they're not hungry. So don't beat yourself up over it. They might not be hungry today, but then they might be hungry tomorrow. Who knows? Let's take a look at some who were worthy or spiritually hungry. And we're going to note who they were because you just never know. You can just see somebody and go, oh, they certainly wouldn't ever want to believe God's word. Well, let's look in the Bible. Luke chapter 19. Everybody there? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Oh boy, two strikes against him right off the bat. Last week we were talking about publicans. They were the tax collectors, and they were pretty much despised by everybody. They had a reputation of cheating people. And so if you were a publican, I don't have nothing to do with you. This guy's chief publican, and he's rich. Oh, those rich people. But look at him, verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he couldn't. He could not for the press, meaning there was a lot of people there, because he was little of stature. He's a little short guy, little short Zacchaeus. He can't see because all those people in front of him. Verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. The sycamore tree, you don't climb up into it. It's a nasty tree in their minds. You don't go up into a sycamore tree. And it's interesting that God's word doesn't say he just climbed up into a tree. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. He really wanted to see Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Well, there's an invitation, huh? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, there's kind of looking like some spiritual hunger there, right? And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, oh, this is disgusting, that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner, that tax collector, that dirty, filthy, rich guy, and Jesus is going to go, oh gosh, how can you do this? Now look who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, look at the reverence he had for Jesus Christ, called him Lord. The half of my goods I give to the poor. Half. It's like some people have a problem with tithing, you know. It's like, this guy gave half, and he was still rich. Isn't that amazing? And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, you know, if there's something wrong what was his job? Tax collector. You know, if he found out that something wasn't right, what did he do? I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he is a son of Abraham. The people may have thought he was a sinner. That's what they said, right? He's a sinner. Jesus Christ said he's a son of Abraham. And the Bible says Abraham's the father of all them that what? Believe. Jesus Christ said this man is a believer. Who would have ever thought this guy, right? Isn't that cool? Go to Acts chapter 2. We're gonna just look at a few records of people that had spiritual hunger. And in most cases, we're not going to read all of the context. So you can do that another time. But in Acts chapter 2, the great day of Pentecost, Peter preached a wonderful sermon, preached God's word to the people, and let's see the reaction. We go to Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, this is at the end of his preaching, Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They did what? They gladly received his words. That's spiritual hunger. And they got, you know, born again and received God's gift of Holy Spirit. What a wonderful day it was. In Acts chapter 4, Peter had preached to the people again after the lame man was healed. Peter preached again about Jesus Christ. And you can read that in chapter 3. But he got arrested for doing it. Oh, that sounds like treating somebody spitefully, doesn't it? Got arrested for speaking God's word. There are places on this planet where that can happen. China is one, and there are other places for preaching God's word. So anyway, threw him in jail. But verse 4 says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. It was quite a movement going on there in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, wasn't there? That's just beautiful, isn't it? In Acts chapter 8, Philip is going to go to Samaria. Why would anybody want to go to Samaria? Nobody will believe down there. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He's speaking God's word. Look at the response. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There was some spiritual hunger in this city. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I guess so. There was joy because they took heed and they got the deliverance. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He was working for the adversary. He was doing devilish things in that city. And look at this, to whom they all gave heed. Everybody in Samaria really respected Simon. They all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, meaning the common people as well, all the way up to the mayor, the governor. Everybody thought, well, this is what they thought, saying, this man is the great power of God. Oh, Simon, man, he's got the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he bewitched them with sorceries. That city was a spiritual mess, but Philip went down and they were hungry for the truth. And look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Who would have ever thought that that man had spiritual hunger? He was the most popular guy in town, bewitching people with devilish stuff so much that everybody was going, he's the great power of God. And Philip comes in and people get delivered, and Simon wanted to know the real truth. Oh, doesn't that blow you? You don't know by just looking at somebody. I ain't going to go talk to that guy. He's into, doesn't matter what he's into, either hungry or not hungry. Verse, same chapter, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This is obviously a somebody that's interested in spiritual matters, traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Okay. Note who he is. He's in a high government official, like something to do with the treasury, the national treasury. So he's high government official. So verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He had access to, not everybody had access to Bibles. Today we've got, you know, the books, tablets, phone. So easy to access the scriptures, but back then they didn't. But being a high government official, he had scrolls, so he's in there in his chariot reading Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, God's talking to Philip, he said, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Okay. Philip ran thither up to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? Great question, right, to ask. Do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And then he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Is that not spiritual hunger? Is that not somebody that wants to know the truth, wants to know about God's word? The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, tell me, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Is the prophet talking about himself here, or is he prophesying about someone, which he was? It was prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Isn't it great that Philip was there to answer his questions? Well, it's beautiful. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Yay! Spiritual hunger, and it's just beautiful. You know, we might say this guy was like a churchgoer, you know? He read the Bible. There's a good indication of someone that might have spiritual hunger. They read the scriptures. He didn't understand what he was reading that day. You know, you may run into somebody and they're like, yeah, so, yeah, you read the Bible. What did you read today? Or what did you read recently? Well, I read this. Did you understand it? No, not really. Kind of went right over my head. Good question. He wanted understanding, and he wanted Philip to help him to understand. That is spiritual hunger. And it's interesting that verse 29 told us that God told Philip specifically to go to that chariot. God knew this man was hungry. And God could do the same for us too. Acts 10. These are fun to look at, aren't they? Look at this guy. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Acts 10:1. He's a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He is a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, meaning he has got 100 soldiers under him. He's not of a Jew from, you know, Judean background. But God's word says in verse 2, he was a devout man, one that feared or reverenced God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. A Roman centurion doing this? You never know who you're going to run into. Look at this man. He loved and reverenced God. He was a giver and he prayed a lot, a lot. And if you're familiar with the record, an angel came to him and told him, look, you need to have Peter come over here and talk to you. And so he got Peter to come over and talk to him. And not just him. Go to verse 33. Cornelius is talking to Peter when he got there, and Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. I'm so glad you came, Peter. Now, therefore, we are all here present. He had, where does it tell that he, oh, in verse 24, it says that he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius had the house packed. Told everybody what happened. An angel appeared to me, told me to get this guy Peter to come over. He's coming. So, verse 33 again. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Would you call that spiritual hunger? Somebody that really wants to know? Absolutely. Yeah. And if you read the record, they got born again and manifested Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. Acts 13. Let's look at a few more. In Acts 13, Paul is in the island there of Paphos. And verse 7 says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. He's the deputy of the country. He was a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. He just wanted to hear it. In verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So they're visiting, right? They just went and sat down. They're in the audience. And then, after the reading of the law and the prophets, which they did on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. What an open door to speak. You know, Paul's traveling through. Okay, well, let's go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. All right, they're sitting. So people knew they were travelers or whatever they knew about them. Said, would you like to share something? Oh, of course I would. And then you can read what Paul shared. Oh, he just did dynamic sharing of God's word that he presented to these people. And verse 42, at the end of it, his preaching there. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Can you guys stay in town and preach again? And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. They wanted to hear. And look at verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. There was a lot of hunger there. Uh-oh, verse 45 though. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, got jealous, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Here comes that treating spitefully junk. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, you know what? It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, Judeans. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy. What we saw before, that word worthy. These people were unworthy. Of course they were. Seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What did Jesus Christ say? If they're not worthy, shake the dust, move on. That's what Paul's doing. He said, look, we're going to the Gentiles. You guys don't want to hear it? That's fine. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, woohoo! They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Isn't that great? A few more, okay. Acts 16, only because we're on a roll. Or at least I am, anyway. I hope this is inspiring seeing this. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? That God would say, don't go there and preach the word. You would think God would want you to go everywhere and preach the word. Paul walked by revelation and did what God told him to do. And they obviously wanted to go to the particular part of Asia. God said, don't go there. Okay. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Oh, let's go to Bithynia. But the Spirit said, don't go there. Why? You don't need to know why. God just said, don't go there. Okay. So I went, yeah, I'm not going to go there. Paul gets a vision and they end up going to Philippi. Verse 13. So they're in Philippi for a few days. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They found a little prayer group, little prayer group that was meeting by the rivers. Can we sit down with you guys? Sure. Okay, cool. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, a businesswoman of the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, look at this, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Isn't that great? And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You guys are traveling, you can stay at my house. There's another indication of spiritual hunger of people that pray. You know, you can always ask people, do you pray a lot? Why? Oh, okay. You ever read the Bible? What? Okay. Just checking. Looking for spiritual hunger. The word shows us some really cool things. Verse 30. Paul got treated very horribly there in Philippi. He got not only arrested, but beaten. And he was in jail, him and Silas. And then God did a marvelous miracle and their chains came off. And then the jailer panicked because people are going to escape. And you can read that record, but we're just going to go to verse 30. The jailer brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, there's a good spiritual question. And they said, go to church every Sunday and pray on your knees for 2 hours a day and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. There's a jailer, spiritual hunger. Acts 17, right around the corner. In Acts 17, Paul went to Thessalonica. He was there for about 3 weeks, speaking the word. And verse 4 says, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Verse 5 says, But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Doesn't sound like the people you want to hang out with, does it? And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. That's that treating them spitefully. Verse 11, after Paul left Thessalonica, he went to Berea and shared the word of God. And it says concerning the people of Berea in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. There's some great spiritual hunger. Verse 32, Paul was in Athens, preached wonderful word of God to those folks there on Mars Hill. Verse 32, Paul had just told them about God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They made light of it. Raised from the dead. Yeah, right. They made light. They mocked. Others said, oh, gee, we got to be running. Got to go do something. We'll hear about you. Hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. You can see the difference between worthy and unworthy, or spiritual hunger and no hunger. Let's go to Acts 18. In Acts 18, verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Well, that'd be the whole Old Testament. He knew it. He came to Ephesus, this wonderful Apollos. He's a believer. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he's a wonderful believer. He's an orator, great speaker, highly educated man. He's just out there sharing God's word with people, but all he knew was water baptism. And he began to speak boldly, verse 26, in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. I mean, they didn't do it out in the open in front of everybody. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And Aquila and Priscilla had been hanging out with Paul. So they knew about receiving Holy Spirit. So here's an instance of a believer that they're going to share God's word so that they can learn more. That's really wonderful. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. So that's an indication that he accepted what they shared with him. Nobody knows it all. Isn't it great that there are people that can help us grow by teaching us more? Sure. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He put his ego aside, right? To learn more and to grow in God's word. What a wonderful man. Then we get to Acts 19. Paul comes. Apollos is gone. And it came to pass that when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received Holy Spirit? Are you manifesting the manifestations of Holy Spirit? You know, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. Have you guys received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we have not heard so much as whether there be a Holy Spirit. What? We never heard about any of that. Why? Because they were originally taught by Apollos, and all he knew was water baptism. Paul's like, what? And if you keep reading, Paul led them into manifesting Holy Spirit. And that's wonderful. But these believers didn't go, look, we're fine, okay? We're fine. We like dunking and dipping, and we love God, and we're okay. You know, sometimes you talk to people, and they go, I have my own religion. I asked somebody one time, you started it? But, you know, spiritual hunger again. Sometimes people are hungry, sometimes they're not. These people had spiritual hunger because they ended up receiving the Spirit in a manifestation and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Beautiful. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We read in, when we were in Acts 17 about Paul when he went to Thessalonica. But I just want to show you this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, sometimes believers get to the point where I don't want to learn anymore. I don't need to learn anymore. I'm happy where I am. And that's just people. I'm full. I ate and I'm full. Maybe tomorrow I'd be hungry, and that's where they are. But we can see in the scriptures where believers can continue to grow in God's word. So in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These were idol worshipers, bowing down to whatever they were bowing down to, whether it was stone or wood or gold, but praying to idols. Oh, they certainly are. They couldn't be hungry for the truth. These people were. That's why I said you can't judge. You just don't know who's hungry. Like with physical hunger, look around the room. Who do you think's physically hungry in here? You don't know. When we finish and go have refreshments, you might have a better idea. Okay, I'm sorry. You want to know how these people received the word of God? Look at chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for this cause, 2:13, for this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. And that word of God works effectually in anyone who believes. It's God's word. And that's how these people just turned on to God's word, because they were hungry. Two more places we're going to go. Go to Mark chapter 4, if you would, please. Two more verses. Mark 4. In Mark 4, verse 33, Mark 4, 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. And that's a great point in sharing God's word with people, as they're able to hear it. Sometimes we get excited and try to teach people the whole Bible in 5 minutes. Physically, if you did that, you'd choke. Here, eat a sandwich and have this at the same time. As they were able to hear it. But then look at the next verse. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, his disciples, or the 12, he expounded all things to his disciples. Because they were able to hear more. It's like when Paul said, I fed you with milk, but not meat. So again, there's degrees of being hungry. Some people, all they want is a snack. Good. Maybe tomorrow they want a whole meal. It's okay. Remember, King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Food looks good, but I don't know. No, I think, oh, okay. So we're going to close in 1 Peter chapter 3, last verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. So review for just a moment. We saw some responses of people who are not spiritually hungry. And those were, they don't want to hear. They're not interested. They don't want to come. They make light of it. Oh, the Bible? Big deal, Bible. Who cares? They go their own way. I need to go here. I need to do this. I need to do that. Or treat you spitefully and worse. But you never know who's hungry. We saw a chief publican, and idol worshipers, high government official, a sorcerer, a businesswoman, a great educated orator, and lots of everyday folk. And then some indications of those who were hungry. They receive it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They read the Bible. They have questions about the Bible. They have spiritual questions. They pray. Just some of the indications. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man or every woman that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear or reverence. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and the great privilege that we have to share your word with people. And Father, we pray that there would be open doors, that we could share it with people that are hungry, who want to know the great truths concerning you and your wonderful Son. Thank you for the knowledge of your word that we have available to us. And I ask you, God, to bless everyone here and bless those who are on the hookup. And Father, that we can have a blessed week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All righty. So,